From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, satanic ritual abuses. Oh boy, I'm not kidding. Well, every once in a while, I get one of those feelings about something weird, something strange happening. I'm starting to get it again. China's foreign ministry has reacted angrily after a U.S. Navy ship passed within 12 nautical miles of disputed islands in the South China Sea. Now, these are islands that China built in an apparent challenge to Beijing's territorial claims in that region. Now, the Ministry of China said the authorities monitored and warned the guided missile destroyer, the USS Lassen, as it moved inside what China claims as a 12-mile territorial limit around the Subi Reef, a disputed group of hundreds of reefs in the South China Sea that is also claimed by the Philippines. I'm just starting to get this uneasy feeling. John Curtis, of course, onlinecolumnist.com and an expert on world events. John, are you getting that same feeling I am?
Oh, I think this is, you know, we're really close to a collision course right now with the Chinese. And don't forget that they are a dictatorship in China, and they are extremely paranoid. I mean, this is a waterway around the South China Sea,
yeah,
and it is a open waters, and the UN definitive rules regarding, you know, waterways and islands and distances from islands in terms of territory is a 12-mile water limit from a landmass only when it's a natural island. If it's a man-made island, there is no limit. So the Chinese stomping up and down right now about the U.S. violating its territorial integrity for these three dredged out airstrips that they're building, when on the 25th of, you know, September, Xi Jinping met with Obama at the White House. He was feted by the White House, and he reassured Obama that these are purely for commercial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no military intent at all. And, you know, when you look at the intimidation and the bullying that's going on, it's not just the U.S. I mean, I think right now, the U.S. really has to take this to the Security Council, and they need to put China on notice that I don't think they can do it any other way. They need an international backing to put them on notice that this is a waterway that has to be, you know, freedom of the seas, they have to be maintained.
John, and if for some reason we end up going to some kind of war with China, what are we going to do about that $12 plus trillion of debt that China holds, bonds and investments in this country?
Well, that's a major consideration, because, you know, they can start pulling back on that debt. And, of course, the only response by the Federal Reserve is another round. This will be QE4 that will probably produce a hyperinflation that wind up debasing our currency. But the real issue is they have a 2.5 million man army. They have plenty of assets in the South China Sea,
yeah.
Perhaps not as many carriers as the U.S. has. We know that. But they're a very dangerous group, and they're tracking, you know, U.S. Movements right now in the South China Sea. It's very possible that an accident could happen also, just like in 2001. I don't know if you recall that Hanan Island incident where they shot down a U.S. surveillance plane, literally kept the crew there for a month or close to it, and dismantled the plane piece by piece.
That's right.
And took all that intelligence. So the Chinese are, you know, they're a pretty tough group to deal with, and we really don't want to get into an incident with them.
All right, John, thanks. And John's website, onlinecolumnist.com. An anarchist group may be planning to use Halloween as a cover for a plan to ambush police in cities across the country. This according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They said this in a bulletin to local police departments just to be on guard. The New York Post reported that the National Liberation Militia has encouraged supporters to create a disturbance to attract law enforcement and then attack them. The group calls the ambush a Halloween revolt. That's here in this country. Homebred terrorism, friends. General Motors recalling 1.4 million cars for fire risk after previous fixes failed. They thought they fixed it. The recall will be the third intended to fix this problem since 2007. Well, if you're included in the recall, you're going to find out about it. Shoppers darkened their outlook in October, suggesting a bumpy road ahead for an economy largely reliant on consumer spending. The Conference Board, a private research group, said its index of consumer confidence fell 97.6% in October to that from a revised 102.6% in September. The initial September reading was 103. So people are still a little edgy right now. The front doors of the REI stores are staying locked on the biggest shopping day of the year. They think Black Friday has gotten out of hand, and they're going to close the doors on Thanksgiving and Black Friday, giving their employees a chance to enjoy the Thanksgiving weekend with their family. The REI stores have 12,000 full and part-time workers, and they've simply said, "We're closing the doors on Wednesday when the stores close." The REI stores, of course, catering to outdoor and fitness gear. But they're going to close the doors on Black Friday, which is supposed to be the biggest shopping day of the year. Reducing consumption of added sugar, even without reducing calories or losing weight, has the power to reverse a cluster of chronic metabolic diseases, including high cholesterol, blood pressure in children in as little as 10 days, according to a study. What an incredible study. Let's check in with our expert, author and researcher of MyHeartBook.com, Christian Wild. Christian, we always knew sugar was bad for you, but wow, what a study, huh?
You know what? I think this is a monumental study. I think the main thing we take away from this article is that added sugar in diets and drinks can lead young people unknowingly to a diagnosis of prediabetes. One of my mentors, MD, PhD, Carol Watson, who's the Director of Preventive Cardiology and Director of Lipid and Hypertension Management at UCLA, told me several years ago that one of her greatest concerns as a physician was that too many young people, because of their diet of processed foods, sugary snacks, and drinks, might lead them into diabetes. And her concern was many of them will not outlive their parents. Now, I've since heard that from many physicians. A remarkable statistic came out earlier this year from a government study that found, listen to this, almost half of all American adults have type 2 diabetes or are in prediabetes. About one-third of those people with type 2 don't know they have it, and most of those with prediabetes are totally unaware of their condition. Now, doctors are anxious to check your cholesterol every time you come in their office, but insulin and A1C are just as important, if not more, so don't be afraid to ask for you and your children. Now, tonight, we might do well to remember, while we discuss this topic, George, that this ailment was once called sugar diabetes.
Yes, it was.
Now they call it type 2. Now, in a conversation you and I had back in August, you asked me what actually constitutes pre-diabetes in regard to glucose. And afterwards, when I got off with you, I thought, gee, we got sidetracked and I didn't give you an answer. So tonight I posted it on my website and some other information for your listeners in regard to diabetes and how to reverse it and control it. But to answer your question a little late, George, normally a pre-diabetes is anything on your glucose level above 100. Your pre-diabetes, wow, if you're 100 to 125 milligrams, and if you get over 126, you are considered type 2 diabetes. But I want to leave you with some good news for anyone listening who might be dealing with this ailment, and obviously many people will be. You can lower your risk of migrating from pre-diabetes to type 2 by 58% by simply losing weight, exercising moderately, brisk walking perhaps, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, eliminate white potatoes, white rice, pasta, white bread. You can change your outcome.
You got it. Christian, thanks. Your website, myheartbook.com. Great job. Well, if you're into the Shroud of Turin, listen to this story. Is it a medieval fake or a relic of Jesus? A new analysis of DNA from the Shroud of Turin reveals that people from all over the world have apparently touched the garment. That's right. Individuals from different ethnic groups and geographical locations came into contact with the Shroud of Turin, either in Europe, France, or Turin, they say, or directly in their own lands of origin. Who knows where the shroud has been? The new findings, they say, do not rule out either the notion that the long strip of linen is a medieval forgery or that it's the true burial shroud of Jesus. According to the researchers, they just do not know. Immigration, it's going to be a big issue in the 2016 presidential election, and of course the Republicans are taking it as a major issue. We're going to check in with Frosty Wooldridge in a moment, author of America on the Brink, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you and our guest for the next couple hours, Frosty Wooldridge. Frosty, of course, graduated from Michigan State University in 1970, served as a U.S. Army Medical Service Corps officer during Vietnam. He has worked as a college guidance counselor, science and math teacher as well. He is the author of a book called America on the Brink, The Next Added 100 Million Americans, and we are going to talk about the very sensitive subject of overpopulation, immigration, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Frosty, good to have you.
Thank you, George. It's amazing. We had this conversation about 10 years ago, and I'm still here and you're still here, so I'm excited to spend this time with you and every person listening, not only in America, but Canada and across the globe, because this issue literally faces all of us and the whole human family. So it's great to have a huge audience and people that care about the future. So I'm ready to go.
And it's a tough issue, Frosty, because on one hand, all of us, even you, because you've done some hard work and research into immigration, legal and illegal, right. But people want a better life, and we can't fault that. And my God, what do you do when they are living in squalor and they want to come to a country and hopefully have the American dream? On the other hand, laws are laws, and we got to follow them, and that's a big issue. So where do we stand right now on all this?
You know, and one of the things that I stand with you on this, George, and I really stand on with every American, and this has nothing to do with race, creed, or color. As you know, I've bicycled around the planet almost 100 countries across 6 continents from the Arctic to Antarctica, and I've got to see humanity up close and personal because at 12 miles an hour, you really get into the guts of every civilization, every culture, every ethnic group, and you look into the faces of the children, you look into the faces of the old persons, and you look into those who are struggling in the fields and so forth. So I have a great deal of heart for what's happening. And at the same time, I also understand as a math and science teacher that the numbers make a difference. And for those of you who can appreciate this, because of the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, which was created way back there 50 years ago, we imported over 100 million people into this country and jumped from 194 million to 300 million people by 2006. And now we're at 321 million and headed for 438 million. That's a jump of another 138 million people. And the problem, George, is that the third world, the first world is essentially the United States, it's Canada, it's Europe, and it's Australia. The average female in all of these Western world countries chose 2 children or less per woman since 1970. So the first world created civilized societies with birth rates that equaled the sustainability of the water and the energy and the resources of the landmass in which they found themselves. And so that's what happened. But the third world, unfortunately, did not practice birth control for the last 45 to 50 years and steamed ahead. And when I was in college back in 1970, 3.5 billion people on the planet. Well, today it's doubled to 7.3 billion, and that's the third world steaming ahead, racing ahead without using birth control. And they're going to add another billion every 12 years and hit well over 10 billion by 2050. That's 35 years from now. And so the drama or the tragedy is this. We can't, if we save all these immigrants, then we destroy our own civilization. That's a mathematical fact because it's called exponential growth. Exponential growth cannot be sustained. It ultimately ends in a complete collapse of any civilization. There are plenty, the Mayans, you can go to Easter Island, you can go right on down the line. And so the key is that we as a civilization, we as a nation, we as a country that succeeded in coming to a stabilized population, have to be able to function ourselves in order to help third world countries. And that means we have to be able to help them with food and water and housing and all sorts of relief. But if we too, just to give you an example, if the Titanic goes down, you only have so many ore boats to save only so much of the crew.
That's right.
And then you had 1,500 people still left on the Titanic. If all those would-be survivors jumped in the water and swam out to all the ore boats and then overloaded the ore boats, then everybody drowns.
Everybody goes down.
Everybody goes down. So here today in the United States, we are on course right now because of the 1965 Immigration Reform Act to add not just the 100 million we added in the last 45 years, but we're about to add another 138 million people within the next 35 years. And it's totally, completely, unequivocally unsustainable. We right now have seven states, starting in Florida, going to Georgia, going to New Mexico, going to Texas, going to Arizona, going to Nevada. And of course, the granddaddy of water crises is now in California.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, when I spend my time in LA, it's tough. They fine you if you go over a certain amount of water usage now.
Well, that's correct. And in fact, when I bicycled down the West Coast this summer, Canada to Mexico, and I spent a great deal of time in California, we had to have porta potties in the state parks because they didn't have enough water to fill the toilets or the lavatories.
God.
And it cost a fortune just for a 2-minute shower. And so can you imagine California is about to add anywhere from 10 to 20 million people within the next 30 years at the current rate of growth. And now California, and you know California, adds, and you can go to capsweb.org to verify this. I don't pull these numbers out of the air. California adds 1,655 people every single day of the year on this, this immigration onslaught of legal and illegal immigrants. That's 98% of that growth, of that number, 1,655 people, is because of legal and illegal immigration. And of course, they're coming from all over the world. Well, we already take in over a million legal immigrants every year, and you can just call them refugees because that's what they are. They're fleeing the misery, the poverty. They're fleeing the scarcity of food. There's 10 million children starve to death every year, according to the United Nations, and another 8 million adults. So that's 18 million people. So you have to ask yourself, can America take in 18 million starving children and adults every year? Because within 10 years, that would be over 180 million more people. You can see there is a problem there. And so what I'm trying to do, and what you're allowing me to do with an international broadcast like this, is that the human race, the leaders of the world, the leaders of every state, even Governor Moonbeam out there in California, and all of the mayors, and all of Matt Lauer and all of the top, Charlie Rose and Megyn Kelly, they've got to start interviewing individuals like yours truly to create a national discussion and create a national dialogue on how and where we're going to take our country. Because if we just keep letting it happen the way it's happening, the United States, and I will make this statement absolutely, The United States and the people of America will not survive the 21st century as an intact and viable civilization. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And when we come back, Frosty, let's talk a little bit about your work, America on the Brink, because you are basically proposing a total shutdown of all immigration this year or as soon as possible. We'll find out why. Welcome back. Frosty Wooldridge with us. Frosty, you talk about a request, but an idea to totally shut down all immigration, not just the illegal, but the legal as well. For how long and why?
Excellent. And here's a quote by the late Dr. Albert Bartlett of the University of Colorado. I knew him personally. He said, and I quote, "Unlimited population growth cannot be sustained. You cannot sustain the growth and the rates of consumption of resources. No species can overrun the carrying capacity of a finite landmass. This law cannot be repealed, and it is not negotiable," unquote. He really was the Einstein of demographics and a brilliant man. And so here's what's happening. In 40 years, you obviously, we've watched all of these politicians, the two Bushes, Clinton, and now Obama, and even Reagan. None of the Congresses and none of these presidents enforced America's borders. And so we have imported all of these illegal aliens into this country. We gave them a big pass back in 1986, and then with the promise that this would never happen again. And it was, I think it was Ann Coulter, the journalist out of New York, who wrote a book called Adios America, the Left's Plan for Turning America into a Third World Hellhole. Well, I always go with the conservative of 20 million illegal aliens, but her figure was 31 million, and she had some pretty good citations to verify that. And so what we have to do at some point is we, the people, have to raise a national discussion, a debate on how much more can we stand of our country's borders being completely violated. And how much more damage can we stand of our ethos and our culture being violated, and our language, the English language, being completely violated? And so I came to an appreciation with a former U.S. Senator candidate, Paul Strites, I think out of Connecticut. And he said, we've got to quit fooling around about reduction in immigration, because it's not happening. The Congresses aren't changing that 65 Immigration Reform Act. The presidents in cahoots with the Congresses are not enforcing our borders. Illegal alien employers are employing anywhere from 8 to 10 million illegal aliens. They're eating alive our welfare systems. They're eating alive our medical systems. They're eating alive our free breakfasts and lunches in the schools and the ESL, English as a second language. So the fact is, we're headed for this 138 million people added to this country. And before I get to that, answer the rest of your question, what does that 138 million people mean? It means we're going to double the populations of our 35 largest, most populated cities in America. That equates to doubling New York City from 8.3 million to 16.6 million. Chicago
it's
from
too,
5
they're,
million.
They're too congested now, Frosty.
Pardon?
They're too congested with people now.
That's exactly right. And you have to understand, I've traveled through all those cities in the last 30 years. I'm intimately understand that we in America jump from that 194 million, because in my summertime as a math and science teacher, I drove an 18-wheeler across all of 48 states, and I watched the population grow by well over 106 million more people, and I was in those traffic jams, and they got worse, and then they got worse, then they got worse than that. And yet we're going to double Chicago's to 10 million. We're going to double LA from 11 million to 22 million. The state of Florida jumps from the current 18 million to 36 million. That's the projections. That's not pulled out of the air. You can go to the Pew Research Center. You can go to the U.S. Census Bureau. You can go to the U.S. population projections by Fogel Martin, and you will see those are the numbers we face. So you can get emotional about this, or you can get realistic about it. And so what I'm calling for is a total shutdown of all immigration into this country. Well, other than the fact that somebody wants to marry somebody from a foreign country, then they certainly need to get to do that. There'll be some provisos. But we cannot continue, we in the first world, whether it's Canada or Europe or Australia, we all have a finite carrying capacity on a finite planet, but the third world keeps adding 80 million new babies net gain every year. They simply aren't going to stop that. So they need to have a wake-up call, and we need to literally give our society, our civilization, a chance to survive the 21st century. And that means we need to be able to have the ore boats, enough ore boats, and a floating, essentially, we need a floating Titanic. We need to be a country that maintains viability so that we can help all of those people in their own countries with, first of all, birth control, international birth control, and water purification, and food, and growing, and all that. But we have to be able to maintain that, and we will not be able to maintain that if we continue on this current course, and 30 years from now, because 10 years from now, by 2025, we'll see another 35 to 38 million more people landing in the United States, virtually all of it by immigration. And you have to ask yourself, do you want to see the traffic jams multiply, and you want to see the air pollution completely inundate us? You're all sitting here looking over at China, and I've been to China. I've been all over Asia. It's a nightmare that cannot be solved.
And Rafarsi, let me ask you this too, because there's got to be an underlying reason for doing this, because it defies common sense.
Okay.
And this is beyond humanity. Humanity says we're going to let in a certain amount of people every year, and we're going to let them have the American dream.
Yep.
Craziness is we're going to just open up the floodgates and let anybody come in, good folks, criminals, you name it, all in mass by the millions. And that's unsustainable. That's crazy. But is this a plan by political parties to try to garner enough votes from immigrants, eventually make the illegals legal, let them vote, and that tips the scale politically?
Well, it could be a Faustian bargain, George. And of course, you all know what a Faustian bargain is. It's the politicians selling their souls, selling out the people of America, selling out the citizens. Do you realize that across this country right now, illegal aliens have more rights than citizens? They've got the rights to jobs. They get the rights to free breakfasts and lunches for their children. They get the rights to Section 8 housing. They get free medical for their babies. And they simply are getting paid under the table. So they're happy to be in this country and enjoy all these benefits. But then that same mess that they and the employers of illegal aliens are creating throws all of our citizens out of jobs. And there are now 48 million Americans subsisting on food stamps. 10 million Americans can't get a job.
And the argument I hear, though, Frosty, is that these jobs that Americans don't want to take are being filled by either the legal or illegal immigrants.
That's true, and that's happening at a poverty wage. In other words, they're paying these people under the table, so they're not getting taxed. The taxes, we've got $80 billion a year getting sent out of the country and transfers, financial transfers to all the different countries around the world from which they come. So we're getting bled financially by this deal, but also our working poor can't get a job because all these immigrants are literally undercutting the American worker. And so it's a lose-lose for all of us because in the end, you and I work 50 hours a week. I work my tail feathers off, and my taxes go to pay for all those who are getting the food stamps, who are getting the Section 8 housing, who are getting all of the welfare payments. And it's not solving anything. It's just making a few people that are hiring illegals richer. They get to drive their fancy cars, but they're taking our country down into the depths. And it's a no-win situation for all of us because in the end, we're simply flooding the country to the point where we're not going to be able to sustain this massive population load.
Is there a quota system now for legal immigration? That question is based on the fact that why are the illegals coming in illegally? Why don't they come in legally and try to apply for citizenship?
Okay, well, excellent question. And the answer is very simple. Remember that the world is adding 80 million new babies every year. And
all
so
right.
They all get to be turning 18. To give you an example of how much of a nightmare this is, right now in Africa, where all the Syrian refugees are flooding into Europe from Africa, Africa has carries 1.1 billion people. By 2050, which is 35 years from now, demographers, World UN demographers show that Africa will hit 2 billion, and before the end of the century, Africa will hit 4 billion human beings. You can look that up. That is the demographic projections for Africa. So what I'm saying is that there's no end to the line of refugees, and in fact, the line grows and grows and grows. Do you think that Europe can save another billion people 35 years from now?
No, Europe is going to be in trouble anyway. I mean, in Germany alone, some small towns have had more immigrants come in than the population of those towns.
That's correct.
And they can't sustain it. Some of these people are living in shelters or empty buildings, sometimes in deplorable conditions. Look, Frosty, bottom line, too, though, I feel sorry for these people.
Oh,
I mean, it's heartbreaking. What do we do about them? That's the other question. Do we try to, you know, we've set up companies in Mexico. Heck, a lot of U.S. companies have formed their own businesses there to get away from the U.S. labor force. I mean, what more can we do to make, as an immigration attorney told me yesterday, he said, the way to stop illegal immigration is make those people want to stay where they are. What do we need to do that?
Well, here's another quote by a Stanford professor, Dr. Otis Graham. He wrote the book, Unguarded Gates, and he said, and I'm quoting, most Western elites continue urging the wealthy West not to stem the migrant tide that adds 80 million net gain annually to the planet, but to absorb our global brothers and sisters until their horrid ordeal has been endured and shared by all 10 billion humans packed onto an ecologically devastated planet, unquote. When you hear from brilliant people like Dr. Albert Bartlett or Dr. Otis Graham, and they're making these figures, and you can even see, David Suzuki is also brilliant. Of course, Lester Brown is more than, and E.O. Wilson. They're not making these things lightly, and sure we can go into countries and again with food and water and housing and all the other things to help them in their own countries, because that's really the only answer. And then at some point their leaders are going to be forced to deal with the reality of overpopulation in those countries, or Darwin, if you will, Mother Nature is going to take care of it. And as a matter of fact, here's the Nobel laureate, Dr. Henry W. Kendall said, and I'm quoting, if we don't halt population growth with justice and compassion, it will be done for us by nature, brutally and without pity, and will leave a ravaged world, unquote. So again, it's that Faustian bargain. We keep kicking the can down the road. I'm one of those people. Having bicycled all over the planet at 12 miles an hour, I've seen this thing up close and ugly. And once it lands on a civilization, do you think that China, which grows by 8 million per year net gain, even with one child per family, that's called population momentum, or India that grows, and it's 1.25 billion, India grows by 14 to 16 million net gain, and it's going to overtake China by the mid-century. Do you think they can solve their problems?
No.
They can't. Their problems are so out of control. I'll give you an example. I've sailed on the Yangtze and the Ganges. Both those rivers are so polluted, they create 20,000 square mile dead zones of nothing but toxic water, chemicalized toxic water, that they poison everything for 20,000 square miles. And of course, the oceans can't keep taking all the sewage. Can you imagine what's going to happen when China adds another 300, 400, 500 million by the mid-century, and India adds another 300, 400, 500, 600 million.
What's the projection, Frosty, for 20 years from now? This of the population on this planet, 9 billion, 10 billion?
The low end is 9 billion people, and the high end is 10.1 billion. But some of the demographers, the ones that are really out there, really checking it, think we could go as high as 11 billion people on the planet. So those are the figures, and you can look them up on Google, and those will be verified. The lowest figure is about 9 billion, and the highest figure is a total of 11.1.
Can this planet sustain that?
No chance. There's no chance. This planet, we don't have enough arable land to feed that many people. We don't have enough fresh water to irrigate the crops and even feed and water the people along with the animals. But also, we have to understand that we're poisoning the world 24/7 with over 70,000 chemicals. And so we're doing so much damage to the biosphere, and you want to add another 3 billion people and think that's going to make it better?
Now, well, that's another problem, though, all by itself. So we're dealing with illegal immigration,
sure,
but we're also dealing with a planet that is going to become overpopulated. I'm wondering, of course, we believe in extraterrestrial life out there, Frosty.
Okay.
I'm wondering if these other planets have come to this conclusion and this end that you cannot keep populating a planet. You need sustained growth, minimal, replace those who die and keep it at a comfort level. But when you get to a certain number, it becomes almost impossible to take care of everybody. I've got my personal family. I help them as much as I can. But if I had three times the family that I have now, I couldn't do it.
That's right. And if you extrapolate that exact statement into the entire of the United States, all of a sudden, you've got men like John Kerry. Let's take on an extra 200,000 refugees. Well, what happens when there's another 200,000, then 200,000, and then 200,000 more behind them that want to be saved?
Yes.
It can't be done. And I'm using a logical, critically thinking, observational mind. I got to see it. And see, most Americans, and I know there are people out there that are emotional, they're religious, they care, they want to save the world, save the animals, and there's a club to save just about everything. I belong to the National Bluebird Society. I belong to PETA. I care about the animals. I belong to the SPCA. I care about the trees. I belong to Save the Redwoods. And because my passions are about nature. And so we all care. However, we have to care with reasoned minds, with critical thinking and logical choices, because if we continue to save all those immigrants, we will definitely destroy our civilization. So when you get to that understanding, you have to make logical choices. And that's why I'm calling for a total immigration shutdown now, and that we go after employers of illegal aliens to stop the hook, the bait, if you will, for all these illegal aliens, and so that they will be forced to stay in their own countries, and then their own leaders are going to either have to do something about their populations and how to keep them working and how to keep them viable, or then they're going to have either revolutions in their own countries, or they're going to have massive consequences. But George, they're going to have massive consequences no matter what. And the question is, do we want to have those massive consequences here in the United States of America or Canada or Europe or Australia? And, of course, the answer is every citizen in a viable civilization in the West here is saying absolutely no.
Well, let's open up the phone lines, Frosty. When we come back, let's get some views from all our listeners. It's probably one of the most difficult decisions people are going to be making, because there's a massive humanitarian question here. What do we do with all these people who need help? We'll be back.